Businesses are meant, their purpose, part of their purpose is to help in the redemption of the world, making the world a better place. And by working on yourself and being a better leader, by starting this process and working at it and not giving up, man, your business is going to fly and the people around you are going to flourish when you stick with it. And so it's worth it. Welcome, friends, to our latest episode of the Overflowing Life podcast, where we navigate the crossroads of modern leadership, authentic living, and the redemptive power of business. I'm your host, Chris Lagarde. This week, we wrap up our three-part interview with leader and pastor Phil Carnuccio. In this episode, we explore the power and significant impact that following a rule of life has had on his life over the past 15 years. Phil will also share essential insights and practical guidelines for those looking to establish their very own rule of life for the first time. Join us for an inspiring conversation that promises to reveal the profound influence a rule of life can have on your personal and professional journey. Now there's this thing called the rule of life, which, you know, I'm excited to kind of introduce this concept to the business world because from my perspective, and you tell me if you feel this is not correct, but I feel like the rule of life is about more about being than doing. And to take these practices, which help us to be, help us to surrender and to become more of somebody of who we are supposed to be, who we are made to be, this gives it form and a structure to help us stay centered, if you will. And so in your own words, do you agree with that? And then how would you describe what a rule of life is? And then let's get into the practicalities of how do we create one?
Yeah, that's really good, Chris. Yeah, I love your description. There, I often think about a rule of life like a, you know, when you're gardening and you build a trellis for those climbers, those roses that are climbers, or, you know, a flower that climbs, it needs some structure to help it grow. That structure we put up, I like to refer to as the rule of life. You know, you're adding some structure to let growth happen as it's happening. If you don't have that trellis or that rule, it doesn't allow, you know, those flowers to grow the way that they're designed to grow.
And real quick, we're not talking about, it's not rules. Like I have a rule to follow.
Exactly.
It's that structure that allows like a growth, right?
So. Yes. It's a structure that we're intentional about that allows for that growth, for that formation.
Cool. So what makes up a rule of life?
Yeah.
What does it look like? Yeah.
Yeah. There's lots of different ones, right? There's lots. I use four categories that are helpful. You can come up with your own, but prayer is one. If you don't pray, that might be more reflection, you know, maybe silence and solitude, you call that one. Prayer is one. Square. There's four squares in mine. Prayer.
I call them buckets.
Buckets. Yep. One is prayer. One is work. One is rest. We talked about. And one is relationships. So they're the broad categories, Chris. And then under each of those, I have a few things that I've identified in my life that helps the growth, that helps the growth, that I put in there as practices under each of those.
And you know what I love about those four buckets or categories is prayer, reflection, whatever you want to call it, spirituality, and rest are more inward versus work and relationships. Yes. Are more outward, right? So again, it's kind of like a yin and yang, a cycle of inward, outward, and, you know, the whole person. Would you mind sharing just, we don't need to know all of them. We don't have time for all of them, but what are a few of the things that you have in your buckets?
Yeah. Like, under, prayer, I'll have things like daily office. We didn't talk about that, Chris. So I'll just say daily office is like mini Sabbaths throughout the day. Like I put them in where I'm stopping to look back and contemplate and just be thankful a couple times a day. So it's like a 2-minute, 3-minute Sabbath during my day. So I'll put those in. I'm like, I'll set my alarm. Like at 1 o'clock, it goes off. I stop the craziness and I spend 2 or 3 minutes just being quiet, being thankful for what's happened so far throughout my day. So that's one. A half a day, I'll put in there, spend a half a day away once a month. And then for me, I put in there once a quarter, I do a retreat. I do it overnight of silence. So that's in my calendar. So prayer, they're kind of planned out. What happens daily? What happens weekly? Sabbath? What happens monthly? Half a day to a day. And what happens quarterly is I take a retreat. And that's under prayer. That's just an example under that category.
Can I just, I'm very curious because I think the one area I struggle with, I have similar buckets. I changed work to be called livelihood.
Because
it incorporates
like
financials and stuff like that. What
would you
be willing to share? Like, what are a few things under your work? Because that's the one bucket I'm like, I kind of struggle with, to be honest. I'm just curious what are in yours.
Yeah. And you know, Chris, sometimes I'm careful with this because not everyone has this freedom.
Yeah.
So I'm talking as a lead pastor that has a lot of freedom. So I want to be sensitive to that.
Yes.
I really have the opportunity to go, how do I want to do my job? Not everyone does. So, but there might be, listen, Chris, there might be, I think some people have more freedom than they realize, or they've never talked to their boss about how they want to do that, my job. Why do I say that? Under work, I think about how I actually want to function. Like, I really get energized by, for me, like, I love to communicate or preach. Okay, that's going to be part of my job. I really don't like being in long-term counseling relationships. So I get other people to do that part, right? Because I don't want to do that. So under work, I'm aware of where I'm effective and what brings me life versus the things that I'm not good at and is draining to me. Now, listen, we all don't have that freedom to that degree, but I would argue, Chris, we have more freedom than we realize, or we're fearful to try to even talk to our bosses about, or if you're leading your company, you do have more freedom than you think. So
yeah,
there's some of them. So I'm aware probably 80% of what I do, I really love, and 20% I don't. But you know, come on. We don't get to do everything.
You can't get rid of everything you don't like. I mean, especially
exactly.
You know, as a leader. But I love that approach of like, okay, because this is about being, what are those things work-wise that I really want to say, hey, I'm going to focus on these things that give me life. By the way, have you watched Harry Potter? Are you familiar with Harry Potter?
Some of Harry Potter, not a whole lot.
Okay. So there, you know, later on in some of the later movies or books, there's these dementors that come in that suck the soul out of them. I call those things that you don't get life from, dementors. So where are the dementors? Where are the things that give me life? And I'll focus as much as I, you know, as appropriate that I can in any given season on the things that, you know, I'm really gifted or that give me life. Right. I know in doing this podcast, I know one of the things that gives me life is doing all the production on it. Now, I guarantee you in a subsequent season, I'm going to want to see if I can farm that out. But you know, for now, I enjoy doing it, right? But you anyway, I love it. That approach. Yeah.
Hey, Chris, here's the other thing with work, if you don't mind me saying it. Again,
please.
Not everybody has this freedom. I'm aware that my mornings are my most creative. So that's my think time. That's my write time. That's my reflection time. My afternoons, not as creative, but I'm good with people. So I've created a schedule around that fits the way I am. That's part of work too, like understanding that. Other people might be the opposite. Their mornings are awful with creativity. It's the evening, so they need to flip it. But just that's another thing, how the rhythm works in your day.
That makes a lot of sense. I appreciate you bringing that up because paying attention to your energy within the work as well, not just what you're good at, but like when are the times of day that you can put towards that. Dude, in the afternoon, come 3:30, I'm good for very little. So paying attention to that energy. Okay. So from a developing one of those, here's kind of the advice I gave on the previous episode before we, you know, that I kind of introduced the rule of life and say, look, you know, look at what gives you life. I did talk about that. What are your non-negotiables? What's got to happen? In light of these practices we talked about, what does that look like? And, you know, just say, okay, great. What are the buckets that I'm going to put them in? But actually, even before that, what is the North Star for you, right? What's the central guiding light that no matter what's happening, you know, this is the direction you're going, right? And so, you know, I encourage folks to understand like, hey, is it love? Is it, you know, what is it for you? I know for me, you and I probably have a very similar thing that, you know, I would like to be more like Jesus. That's what guides me. I want to be more loving. Love is at the center of mine. And so start with that. And then what are your buckets? And then what are a few things you're going to fill those in with? What would you add to that process? Is there anything you would change or add to that to help people develop one?
I would say assess it every 6 months and let it change. This is a living document.
Yes. Thank you.
Two, it's not law. Guys, take it easy, will you? You know, we put something down, we get all freakish about it. This is supposed to, again, it's supposed to bring life. I love how Chris said it. It's not rule like law. It's rule like a structure for life. So yes. Be flexible with it. Experiment a little bit. Don't put too many in each one. Do what's doable. Give yourself a break. I would just add that.
Okay. We have covered a lot. So, and you know, we're pretty much out of time. So listen, Phil, what are your parting words for folks? If there was one thing you wanted somebody to take away from this crazy broad-based conversation that we had, what is, you know, that business leader that might be struggling out there that is caught in that whirlwind of being driven by their, you know, what they're compelled by, what do they need to take away from today?
Boy, it's worth it. Working on this is worth it. Why? You are made for life. You're made for life. And your life influences. You influence your wife, your kids, your friends, if you're single. Do not underestimate the power of your life. And think about what you want people to feel when they're around you. Do you want them to feel loved? Do you want them to feel encouraged? Do you want people to feel, and just understand that your life communicates. And this stuff really matters. It really matters. And I know Chris and I are doing this because we believe you're designed for a purpose and we want you to influence for a long time.
Yes.
From a really healthy place. And that can grow and not go the other way. So I would say take baby steps. Do not get overwhelmed. All right. Like 15 years on this journey, I still feel like a baby. Take some little steps and realize it's a journey. It's worth it. Thanks, Chris, for, again, letting me be part of this conversation. I love it.
Dude, thank you for making the time. And let me just say this as an encouragement to everybody. Businesses are meant, their purpose, part of their purpose is to help in the redemption of the world, making the world a better place. And by working on yourself and being a better leader by starting this process and working at it and not giving up, man, your business is going to fly and the people around you are going to flourish when you stick with it. And so it's worth it, like Phil was saying. Phil, again, I love you. Appreciate you. Thankful for this time that we spent. And I'm looking forward to seeing the feedback we get on this. So thanks.
Thank you, Chris.
That's it for the main lineup of episodes in our first season on the Overflowing Life podcast. But don't go too far. Next week, we're bringing you an exclusive episode where we dive into the questions that you've shared with us over the past few months. Also, we're going to take a moment to reflect on the journey of this first season, revisiting the topics we've explored and discussing any growth and insights that we've gained since our initial recordings. Make sure to tune in next week for a chance to deepen your understanding and maybe even find answers to questions you didn't know you had. See you then for this special wrap-up episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Overflowing Life. If our message struck a chord with you, please subscribe and connect with us. Share your thoughts, questions, and stories with us on Instagram at The Overflowing Life or visit TheOverflowingLife.com. And if you're looking for coaching that helps you create an overflowing life, please reach out to us. We'd love to partner with you.